What is going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us today. I am super excited that you have decided to be with us today with the Logos Podcast. And I am super excited and grateful that you have decided to be with us. It has been a minute. It has been a minute. And I apologize so much. I have just been so busy. I really have. And I do really apologize for you to be going this long without a episode. And I am super excited and grateful that you have decided to be with us on this episode. So today we're going to go into the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 10. Book of Romans chapter 10, a very familiar scripture. It has been a very popular scripture in this time. Romans 10 and 13 is where we're going to begin. And Romans 10 and 13 is a very, very popular scripture. I'm sure many of you can quote it. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then we're going to go to verse 14. And this is where I'm going to get my topic from. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher?" So this episode, I'm going to be talking to you today about helping through the hurt. Helping through the hurt. Before I go on moving forward past this little session right here, I want to give a shout out to a family on here that asked me after I did my last episode. I would love to give a shout out to the Van Wy family. Charlie, David, Alex, Van Wy are good friends of mine. I'm super excited and glad that they have listened to the podcast. What's up, guys? I'm so glad that you have decided to tune in. Miss Van Wy, Mr. Van Wy, so thankful and glad that you decided to tune in as well. So getting back to the topic here, helping through the hurt. Some of us definitely know people who don't go to church. A lot of us do. A lot of us know people who don't go to church and are doing wrong things that maybe they don't have a straight mind and maybe they don't have straight thoughts and they think that they are right to do. We know that stuff like that is going the wrong direction. We know that is wrong and going in that direction, and it is kind of destroying our minds and our mindsets from Jesus, because if we are going the wrong direction, we're going to end up doing stuff that we know is wrong and that is wrong. Some of us may even know people who are under the power of addiction. They do things such as smoking, alcohol, drugs, everything that makes them feel like they need more of. But there's one thing that we know that we need more of, and that is the power of God, the presence of God in our lives. We need more spiritual opportunities. We need more of an availability in our lives. If we are not available, God will not use us. If we are not willing to say, "Here am I, send me," as Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, he said, "Here am I, send me." Maybe they were not taught right. Or maybe their right is all wrong and their wrong is all right. Maybe they do not have a straight mind. Like I said earlier, they are not thinking the right thoughts. Maybe they just don't have a very clear mind of what is right and what is wrong. But what if nobody tells them that they are doing wrong? And they are harming themselves? What if nobody tells them that they are going to end up going to hell because they don't know the truth? Nobody told them how to be a Christian. Nobody told them how to be saved. There was a video that I saw a few months ago. I want to say it was back in maybe September, I want to say. September, October. And I saw it by a man that was preaching the Wednesday night service. His name was Nakota Blue. And Nakota showed us while he was preaching a video that will change your perspective of witnessing. That will change your perspective of showing the mercy and love of God and telling them about Jesus. It was called A Letter from Hell. The title already is very intimidating. He sent it to me. I'm on the media team at my church. He sent it to me first, and I watched it, and it shook me to the core. I was not expecting something like that, to be honest with you. It was a little scary, but I'm gonna show it to you. I'm gonna tell you about it. There was a college student named Zach who had a friend named Josh. They did everything together. They were best friends. They played sports together and even went to classes together. But there was one thing that Zach kept from Josh, and that was his relationship with Jesus Christ. He never told Josh, here's the thing, he never told Josh how to go to heaven. He never told him how to be a Christian. And then sooner than later, there came too many beers, a tragic drive home, a crash, a death, a funeral, and a letter from hell. And this is what the letter said. Dear Zach, I died today. It's a lot different than I expected. You see, I always thought dying would bring me into a world that's foggy and hazy. But this place is crystal clear. It's even more real than my life on earth. I can think, I can talk, I can even feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leaving my body. It was the weirdest thing, Zach. I thought I heard you screaming out to me. Man, I must have been just imagining things at first. I was just standing in line getting registered, I guess. They asked me for my name and began to look in this thing called the Book of Life. I guess they couldn't find me in it, though, because this angel standing next to me grabbed me by the arm and started dragging me away. I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. I asked the angel where he was taking me, but he didn't answer. So I asked him again. Finally, he told me that only those whose names were written in the Book of Life could enter into heaven, and the rest would be content to hell forever. Man, I was scared. Bro, I was scared. The angel threw me into some kind of holding cell where I'd been sitting and thinking for a long time. Do you want to know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian, and you told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck. Well, the question I can't get in my head, Zach, is why haven't you told me how to be a Christian? I mean, you say you're my friend. But if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm heading for. I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the lake of fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh no, they're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone. I can see the edge of the cliff where he'll burn. This is it. I am without hope. We're coming closer, closer, closer. My heart is bursting with fear. They're holding me over the plane. I'm done forever. This is it. They have thrown me in fire, pain. Now why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? I wish you were here. I wish you were here. I wonder something today. Does anybody that's listening to this want to be Josh? Let's think about that. Does anybody that's listening to this want to be Josh? And just change the subject when it comes time to tell them that you don't like the way they're going. That you don't like the way they're living. When a subject comes to telling them about Jesus and how to be saved, you don't want to tell them. Can I ask you this question? What is holding you back? And I'm sincerely asking you this. What is holding you back from telling somebody about Jesus? Jesus is the best thing that will ever happen to them. I don't understand why you're scared. Why haven't you invited them to church? If you invite them to church, even teach them a Bible study, one lesson, one sermon, one worship moment could literally change their life. It really could. It really could just change their life forever. And then they can go out and reach other people. They can go out and they can preach to other people. I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't understand why people are so intimidated. I understand that you might be scared of the way they think. But that really is no reason to tell them one time about Jesus. If you don't tell them, who will? That's the real question right now. If you don't tell them, who will go and tell them? There are only people you can reach that nobody else can. What if you're the reason that someone doesn't come with you into the pearly gates and the streets of gold? What if you're the reason that they end up in the lake of fire? Romans 10 and 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? How shall they hear? Without somebody getting up and saying, I don't hate you, but I hate the way that you're going. I don't hate you, but I hate the way that you're living. Honestly, I don't hate you. You know I love you. Honestly, my emotions are involved right now because I am afraid of how you will respond when I end up having to tell you the truth. But I have to tell you anyway. That the way that you are living is going to destroy your life. I have to tell you that the way you're living your life is not pleasing to God. And it hurts me and it hurts you. But that won't stop me from helping through the hurt. That won't stop me from helping through the earth, through the hurt. Because if you don't help them, who will? If you don't tell them about how to get out of the place they're at, how to get unstuck in the sinking sand, how to stop drowning in the water, how to stop being... Come on, somebody. If you don't help them through the hurt, who will? You know, I understand it's not going to be easy. I understand it's going to hurt. But you got to tell somebody. Isaiah 6 and 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? One of the famous lines in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Here am I, send me. And he said, go. And he said, go. There is people all over this world. There's people in your schools. There's people at your jobs. There's people, even people in your church, that is hurting and they have nobody to help them heal. They are lost, but nobody to find them. They are broken, but nobody to mender them. Will you go and help them? Will you go to find them? 'Cause if you don't, then who will? If you don't stop getting stuck up in your own circle and say, you know what? Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will go. Somebody else will witness. I just sit here. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all I got to worry about. No, that is not why we are here. We are not here for ourselves. We are here to go reach the lost. We are here to go reach souls. Every person that you are around, every person that you pass by at Walmart, every person that you pass by in Chick-fil-A, they are all souls. And they got nobody to tell them who Jesus is. I understand some people may not want to hear it. I completely understand that. But what if one lesson could change their life? I said this earlier. If you reach them, they can reach other people. Because there's only so many people you can reach. But if you reach somebody, they can reach somebody else. They can reach their family. They can reach their friends. That's why we gotta actually take this serious and stop thinking about how uncomfortable it's gonna feel when you tell them. Because it might hurt. It might hurt to tell them that they're doing the wrong things. It might hurt to tell them that their life is not pleasing to God right now. The way they're living is not going towards God and not living towards Christ and having a godly example to others. Because what you do influences others. What you do will influence others, because there is always somebody watching you. There is always somebody looking at you, seeing what you're doing, what you talk about, how you talk. There's always so many different ways people will look at you, listen to you, see the way you dress, see the way you live. You may not realize somebody's watching you. You may not realize somebody's looking at every step you take, watching and taking notes and saying, hey, if I do this, I might be affected like this, and that's how I want to live. That's how I want to seek God. That's how I want to do this and do that. Because if you do, it can change somebody else's life. Because you're trying to help people through the hurt. It might hurt them in so many different ways than you can imagine. You might hurt their feelings. But sometimes you gotta help them through the hurt. Sometimes you gotta tell them, hey, I know somebody that can help you. I know somebody that can, that's a really big band-aid and can put something over you and you'll never feel the pain again. You'll never be hurt again because my God says that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Men will fail you. Men will backstab you, but God will never fail you. God will never backstab you because He is before you, behind you, and always beside you. He is closer than the mention of His name. He sticketh closer than a brother. So I don't know what you've been thinking about lately after all this time we haven't been doing this podcast in a while, but I just come to remind you that we are not here for us. We are here for souls. I just came to remind you that this world ain't for us. We know truth, so we are to spread truth. We know truth, so we are to teach truth. We have a saying at our church that says we lead with truth, fight for unity. Sorry. We are committed to truth. We lead with love. And we fight for unity. It don't matter who hurts you. Love them anyway. It might be hard. It might be stressful. It might even hurt so much you can't even stop thinking about it. But you ought to forgive them. Because the Bible says that if you can't forgive others, God will not forgive you. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. We are committed to truth. We fight for what we believe in. Because somebody's always going to realize that when every door you walk into, something's different about them. They're so happy. I want that joy. Guess what? You can tell them, I got the joy of the Lord. and the joy of the Lord is my strength. He picks me up when I'm down. He puts my feet on solid ground. I don't tremble because He's a firm foundation. I'm not unbalanced because He's a firm foundation. He is my rock, and I build my life on that rock. I build my life on that foundation. It don't matter what you're going through. God can help you through it. God can take you through it. You might be through a storm. God can bring peace to that storm. You just need to help them through the hurt. Because they will never know what it feels like, what truth is, unless they got somebody that will stand up and say, "Hey, I'll show you the right way to live. Hey, I'll show you how to be like God. I'll show you how to have the mind of Christ. I'll show you that you ought to have a relationship with God, reading your Bible every day, praying every day." Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. I am so glad and so thankful that you have joined this episode of the Logos Podcast. So incredibly thankful that you have decided to take your time to listen to this episode, Helping Through the Hurt. I would like to just thank all of you guys that have supported this podcast. I have so much fun every episode that we do. I am so incredibly thankful that you have taken the time to listen to today's episode. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I want just to remind you before we leave that every person that you see, every person you pass by is a soul, and maybe you're the one that can lead them to Jesus. God bless.